While you're standing, I'm going to go to the Word of God. Our key text today is going to be from the book of Isaiah, chapter 57. Isaiah 57, 15. This is the prophet talking about God and says, "For thus says the one who is high and lifted up, who inhabits eternity, whose name is holy. I dwell in the high and holy place, and also with him who is of a contrite and lowly spirit, to revive the spirit of the lowly, and to revive the heart of the contrite." My title today, my message is God's Home of Choice. God's Home of Choice. Amen. You can be seated this morning. I know that there are many of you, maybe today, that are not at home. You're here visiting family. You're in town spending some time for Christmas. Or there may be many of you that from today or in the next few days will be leaving your home to go and visit your family and spend some time. I am admittedly a little out of sorts today. My family is not with me, so it's a little odd, feels a little weird. We went to flew to Austin early this week, where my family lives and where I'm from. Decided to carve out a little bit extra time than even normal in Christmas. It's been a unique year for my family and I, and so my wife and children are there in Austin. I wanted to be in service today, so I'm here today and flying back tonight. But I'm thankful that you're here, thankful to be here with you. And speaking today, God's home of choice. I don't know if you've ever been in a position to have to do some home shopping, whether it be the purchase of a home or a new apartment, or you're entering into a new chapter of life, getting married, and you are looking, where are we going to live? What am I going to do? Maybe you're deciding the home as far as where am I going to call home? And I for one, didn't ever know or think that I would call Michigan home, but I am so thankful. I love it. We're here, and this is home for us, and I'm thankful for that. I'm thankful that God has made this our home. Amen. But you know the feeling, maybe if you've been married for some time, you ever have the thoughts about maybe the first place you lived, or even if you're unmarried, or just the first place you lived when it was your place. And a lot of times that doesn't bring up thoughts of grandeur. I know my wife and I, the first home that we lived in was a very small house, and it was on a hill, but this particular hill was experiencing some erosion, especially to one side. And so the house, although once level, there's a pier and beam house, but as erosion had taken its course, the house just began to lean just ever so not slightly. And so by the time we were there, the house leaned, and to the extent that when we moved and moved some furniture from the leaning side, we found some marbles and many other circular objects that had literally rolled to the side of the living room. And it was a house. I, for whatever reason, I think the builders of that home just looked at it and said, "Insulation? Nah, no problem. No, just wood walls is fine." It was very cold, had little window units, but the window unit in our bedroom was not the good window unit. It was the one across the hall in the other room that was the good window unit. So the heat worked there. So you'd have to put a box fan in the hall to blow the good heat over to our side into our room. And there was also the kind of garage type room that the water heater was also in, was not insulated whatsoever. So if you wanted hot water, you couldn't just go turn on a faucet. You had to go check to see if the pilot light had gone out, which it did almost daily. And so that was also a fun experience. But, you know, when I think about that and think about those times and I reflect upon that, you know, the truth is I don't look upon it disparagingly now. Why? Because that was our home. My wife and I's home is our first home together. And although I wouldn't wish it upon you, and maybe you've have a similar experience in your life, it wasn't the most, the grandest home, but it was our home, and we've lived a unique life of ministry following the Lord, and so the home that we purchased here in Clinton Township is our seventh home to live in, which again, I also don't wish upon anyone, but such is life. And, you know, we even the home we purchased now, it's a beautiful home. It's a wonderful home. We're so blessed. It was a home built in the 90s. Many of you have been there. And the people that built it, they lived in it for the entirety. We're the second owners. So they haven't touched it. It's out of a 90s catalog. And so you walk in and it had the pink carpet. Well, I think it's salmon is the official, probably salmon carpet. If you have salmon carpet, God bless you and your choice. But for us, it was, you know, it was a choice that we decided to switch. And so we switched the carpet out. But, you know, there's lots of things. The floors creak a lot. And there's, of course, as anyone's home, there are things I'm sure that you would say, oh, I could change this and change that. But whether you live in what you consider to be a large home or a modest apartment or whatever it is, the truth is you've probably done what you can to make it your own. You furnished it in a certain way. You've put things in it that make it your home. And so there's so much that goes into having a home and what it means to live in your home. And, you know, our home is, it really is so close to our identity and kind of the way we feel about ourselves, the way we feel about life. And don't you just sometimes love after a long day, you just want to get home. If I could just get home, some of you are thinking it right now. If I could just get home, get back in my pajamas, okay? I see some pointing. I see some knowing smiles. I don't hold it against you. It's fine. This is a Christmas. We're easing into that time. But if I could just get home today. And as I reflect on this thought in this scripture, we see that we look at God's home, the place that he dwells, the high and holy place. God's home, we know, in heaven. It's an incredible thing to think about that scripture gives us some insight into. Both of what it is like there, but also what happens there. You know, sometimes it's, you know, you think about, well, I want our home to be known for this. I want, when people come to our home, I want them to feel this or experience this. Or you, what do you want people to experience? When I look at heaven, there's many descriptors. Matthew 13:41, the Son of Man will send his angels, and they will gather out of his kingdom all causes of sin and all lawbreakers. But verse 43, then the righteous will shine like the sun in the kingdom of their Father. He who has ears, let him hear. Hebrews 12 talks about just men being made perfect. John 14, I love this passage. Let not your heart be troubled. Ye believe in God, believe also in me. In my Father's house, there are many mansions. If it were not so, I would have told you. And he says, and I go to prepare a place for you. But when I go, I will come again and receive you unto myself, that where I am, ye may also be. Incredible. When Thomas says, we don't know where to go, or how can we know the way? And Jesus says, I am the way, the truth, and the life. No man cometh unto the Father but by me. Revelation gives us a depiction of what it will be like. Revelation 21 and 18. And the building of the wall of it was of jasper, and the city was pure gold, like unto clear glass. Verse 19, and the foundations of the wall of the city were garnished with all manner of precious stones. And you can read all of the descriptions, all the types of material. And we see that there were 12 pearly gates. And we see that there was no temple therein. For the Lord God Almighty and the Lamb are the temple of it. And the city had no need of the sun, neither of the moon to shine in it. For the glory of God did lighten it. And the Lamb is the light thereof. Such an incredible depiction. The gates of it shall not be shut all by day, for there shall be no night there. Which is just incredible to stop and think about the place that God resides. How amazing, how vast, how glorious, how grand, how immeasurable is it? And I think that when it talks about streets of gold, and what's amazing to me is the fact that the things that we would see as the most precious on earth become the most common in heaven. The thing that we mine for and expend great resources trying to dig out of the earth are the things that we will tread upon in God's home. That's where God lives. But not only does God reside in heaven, but he chose, which is why we are here today celebrating Christmas the way we do. He chose to come down here on this earth, make his home here with us. What a juxtaposition. What a downfall from splendor and glory, and yet he chose to make his home among us. But not only did he choose to make his home here, but the way he chose to come, we know, is humbling in and of itself. And I want to read for you Luke chapter 2, and I hope you make this a tradition in your home, with your family and your children. But I want to read it to you here today, Luke chapter 2. And it came to pass in those days that there went out a decree from Caesar Augustus and all the world, that all the world should be taxed. And all went to be taxed, everyone into his own city. And Joseph also went up from Galilee out of the city of Nazareth into Judea, unto the city of David, which is called Bethlehem, because he was of the house and lineage of David, to be taxed with Mary, his espoused wife, being great with child. And so it was that while they were there, the days were accomplished that she should be delivered. And she brought forth her firstborn son and wrapped him in swaddling clothes and laid him in a manger, because there was no room for them in the inn. And there were in the same country shepherds abiding in the field, keeping watch over their flock by night. And lo, the angel of the Lord came upon them, and the glory of the Lord shone round about them, and they were sore afraid. And the angel said unto them, Fear not, for behold, I bring you good tidings of great joy, which shall be to all people. For unto you is born this day in the city of David a Savior, which is Christ the Lord. And this shall be a sign unto you. You shall find the babe wrapped in swaddling clothes, lying in a manger. And suddenly there was with the angel a multitude of the heavenly hosts praising God and saying, Glory to God in the highest, and on earth peace, goodwill towards men. Today we gather and take special time on this Christmas service to stop and consider the amazing truth that Jesus came down as a baby, humbled himself, manifested himself in the lowly form of a baby to live life on earth. The God of the universe made his home here on earth because he loves you and he loves me. John 1:14, and the Word was made flesh and dwelt among us, and we beheld his glory, the glory as of the only begotten of the Father, full of grace and truth. Jesus made his home on this earth. He left his throne in heaven. He came to earth. He lived among us. He tended to the needy. He healed the sick. He confronted the religious elite and insiders. He raised up disciples. He sent them. He's lived a sinless life, and he died a painful sinner's death for you and for me. But he rose again, and not just to leave his home here with us, but to mark a transition in the way he abided with us. An alternate title of my message today could be God's Three Homes. Because we know that God resides in heaven, and God is a spirit. And I don't mean that in a literal home or house, but we understand that God's spirit abides in a realm that we cannot currently inhabit. But also, he made himself low and came in the form of a human and lived on this earth. But then after he rose again, not only did he just physically live, but there was a transition to say, my home is not just among you, but my home is within you. So now, by the baptism in the name of Jesus and the infilling of the Spirit, you can become God's home of choice. Today I want to declare to you that you are now God's home of choice, that the infinite, almighty God who resides in the high and holy places looked down on this earth and saw you and me in the midst of our mistakes, in the midst of our failures, and said, you are worth inhabiting. I would trade all of this. I would give up all of this to come and abide in your spirit. You are God's home of choice. Oh, I'm thankful for that today. Thank you, Lord, that you abide in your people. We see that in Acts chapter 1, after Jesus has risen from the dead, his disciples erroneously are asking him, okay, well, what are you going to do now? And he says, no, my kingdom is not of this earth. You missed it. And then he tells them, when you receive the Holy Spirit, you'll be my witnesses in Jerusalem, in Judea, and Samaria. And he says, you'll receive power. That is what I'm talking about today. There was a transition to the home of Jesus being among his people, to his home now being within us. A beautiful truth. A beautiful truth for us. Now we look upon our key text in Isaiah. It speaks about the message. In this message, what I would refer to as God's first home of choice in heaven. But again, what is interesting here is it doesn't highlight the grandeur of the trappings and the things of heaven. No, it highlights two things. Number one, it says the one who is high and lifted up inhabits eternity. Eternity. What a difficult concept to grasp. I don't know about you, but when I was a kid, I remember the first time I talked to my parents about what forever meant. And I tried to, in my brain, come to the end of forever. You ever done that? Well, it goes on and on and on and on. But then, no, it goes on and on. And you're trying to think your way to the end of time. Think your way to the end of all things. And yet it's just unfathomable. And it's incredible to think the difference between our time on this earth. It's just a vapor. Here today, gone tomorrow. What a contrast of our time here on this earth versus all the vastness of eternity. God inhabits that eternal place. Number one, the prophet Isaiah, he inhabits eternity. The second thing, his name is holy. It says, I dwell in the high and holy place. The holy place, a place so holy that even the angels veil their faces. A place where there is no imperfection. A holy place. That is where he resides. And we understand that. I said that the second place he decided to inhabit was here among his people. But the third place is within you and I. Acts chapter 2 verse 39. After the Holy Spirit was poured out, they said, this is not just for you here today. But he said, this promise is unto you and to your children, and all that are afar off, even as many as the Lord our God shall call. That includes us here today. So we know that we are to repent, be baptized in Jesus' name, and follow after him. But look here at the description of the author. Here's that word that I preached about last week. We see it here again. He says, yes, he says, I dwell in the high and holy place, and also with him who is of a contrite and lowly spirit. In December, I have not preached a series in the context of tying every single message together, but I have preached a theme. And today I'm concluding this same theme in a single word. The one thematic element I've wanted to present all of this month through this entire wonderful season that we celebrate. But the theme that I've wanted to present to you is hope. There is hope for you. There is hope for you. And the first message of the month I preached was the opportunity of the innkeeper. I talked about the innkeeper that turned away Mary and Joseph. What an opportunity he had. What an opportunity he had to invite them in. And yet, for whatever reason, he did not. And yet we have that same opportunity to allow God to come into our life and our heart. Our Christmas service, when we had wonderful elements of the service, I preached my Messiah and how Jesus doesn't just want to be a vast and God of all. He wants to be the God of your all. And then I preached last week, go ye also. We see that the people that were standing idle in the marketplace, the master of the vineyard, which we know is a comparison to Jesus, he came through at all hours of the day, even down to there just being one work hour left, and he still found people and said, go and work, go and get busy into the activities I have for you. And so we see that there is hope. And so today, I bring it again that there's the loftiness of the station of God contrast with the lowliness of those he wants to commune with. Amen. Contrite and lowly. Contrite, we see some synonyms. Crushed, broken, humbled. You can even see crippled as a synonym. In this, I present this message of hope. Because if we were to use this metaphor of a home, if you were thinking that God were to call up his realtor and say, okay, I'm looking for the best home I can inhabit. And in this room, we were all homes, as it were. Many of you would probably say, you know what? God would never pick me. God would never decide that's the place I want to go. That is the perfect home I've been looking for. But that reveals within us a flawed perspective that I've been trying to pierce through this entire month. And it's the perspective of human comparison, of seeing things through our eyes, of seeing things as we would, as we look at a home and we look for imperfections and we look for reasons why it wouldn't work and we look for this and look for that. And we use those same analytical methods on our own self and our own life and our own spirit. But yet, when I see this scripture today, I see that the God that is high and holy comes down to the contrite and lowly. And so I present a message of hope to those who feel as if they don't have the benefit of the doubt. Today, I'm reaching for those of you that feel overwhelmed by the situations of life. I want to tell you that God wants to dwell with you, that you, yes, you are his home of choice. I want to speak to those who feel that they have been wrung out of all the virtue or goodness within themselves as moisture is wrung from a rag. I present this to those who feel as though life has dealt with you harshly or unfairly. Maybe you sit in this auditorium today or you're watching online and you would say, this is not what my life is supposed to look like. There's no way this is how things are supposed to go. I want to again appeal to those that may be idle in the marketplace of life, looking for the fulfillment of purpose. To those that are struggling during this Christmas season, thinking, if Christmas is so great, why does it feel like this? Why do I feel like this? Let me just remind you today that the high and holy God has stooped down out of heaven and said, I am looking for the one that is lowly. I don't look at things the way man looks at things. I'm not looking for perfection. I'm not looking for all of those things like you would look for in the perfect home. No, if you're lowly, I'm here today. If you're crushed, I see you today. If you feel broken, I want you today. If you're broken, I still choose you. If you've been crushed by life, I still choose you. If you've been crushed by situations, I still choose you. If you've been crushed by infidelity, I still choose you. If you've been crushed by financial hardship, I still choose you. God is looking for those. You may feel low, but he still chooses you. That's why you are God's home of choice. Oh, can we just thank him? God, you stooped out of heaven and you see me, and I'm not worthy, but by your death and resurrection, you have made me worthy of love, worthy of reconciliation, worthy of grace. Oh, God, I'm not fit, but you have made me your home of choice. Thank you, Lord. But not only does he want to dwell within you, verse 15 concludes, why does he do this? To revive the spirit of the lowly, to revive the heart of the contrite. God wants to revive you today. There's a lot of things that we can do. There's a lot of things that science and medicine and technology have allowed us to do. And we have several, many healthcare professionals from helicopter paramedics to EMS to firefighters to nurses. And I could go around the room and I could speak to situations where they've been able to revive somebody. But and even in that, there's just a very slim ability to revive someone. There's a very slim set of circumstances. But you know what? Even the best doctors, they cannot revive a crushed and lowly spirit. Medicine, technology can do nothing. We are helpless to help those whose spirit has been crushed by life. But let me tell you today that there is a God that goes beyond medicine. There's a God that goes beyond reason. There's a God that goes beyond anything a doctor can do and can say, I will revive that spirit. You may feel broken by life, like you have no future ahead of you, but I can revive that which was dead. I'm reaching for someone today that feels like there's no hope, that feels like there's no future, to tell you that God is here to make his home in your heart. Why? To revive your spirit, to revive your heart. Oh yes, that's what my God wants to do. That's what my Savior does. He's the reviver of spirits. He's the reviver of hearts. He's the reviver of broken dreams. You're lowly, you're crushed. My God can heal you. Oh, I'm thankful today. A contrite and lowly spirit. I know this may be a different Christmas service message. If you're a guest with us today, I'm sorry we don't have candles and hymns. We may do a candlelight service in the future. They're wonderful. I love them. But I just felt so passionate today to bring this to somebody because I know that there are times that The thing that we would hope that Christmas brings to you is the very thing it pushes away. Joy, peace, love, harmony. Sometimes those things are absent for different reasons at Christmas. And so I say today that we see hope in this message. But also, this is a message of hope, but it's simultaneously a message of admonition. Because it would be wrong for me to stand here and say, well, if you're lowly and contrite, even if you're broken, even if all these things have happened, God can still love you. It's a wrong way of thinking. It's not, well, yeah, God can still stoop all the way down and pick you up. No, let me speak to those that live in blessing and abundance and affluence and following after God, and everything is good and everything is up. Well, the truth is, maybe it's not that, well, God can dwell with one that has a lowly spirit. God can dwell with the heart that's contrite. No, maybe that's what God wants. Sometimes life will humble you. Sometimes life will bring you to your knees. But also, the truth is, even some of those that have been humbled do not come out humble. Sometimes the lessons that life, that God allows life to try to teach us, we don't learn from. So the truth is, a lowly spirit and a contrite spirit is just as much an admonition for those living in blessing as it is the reality of circumstance for those that are low. So I come to admonish you today, if you are doing well, if you are healthy, if your family is well, if your finances are in order, for you, I say, the most dangerous thing that we could do is come to God in a high and lofty way, is come to God with the self-confidence. No, I need to be the one to say, Lord, my family is healthy and I thank you, but it's only because of your grace. I am blessed, but it's all because of you. What we need to do is say, God, I make myself low today. I have a heart of contrition. Lord, break me. If there's any pride in me, if there's anything that would elevate myself, break it in my spirit today. Why? Because God wants a contrite heart. God wants a lowly spirit to look to him and say, Lord, you are the only one that can bring blessing. Lord, you are the source of my strength. Lord, you are the source of all my hope. You are the source of every good thing in my life, God. It all comes from you. So the admonition to us that walk with the Lord is to not allow Christmas and the consumerism that would want to accompany it to blind us in our perspective, to stop being the kind of people that God needs to inhabit. Because if I am to make myself so high and lofty and to start calling myself so blessed and look at all these good things, I am basically closing the door of the proverbial home and keeping God out. But if you want God to dwell with you, church, what does it take for you to have a contrite spirit? What does it take for me to have a lowly spirit? For me to humble myself? For me to submit myself? Pastor John preached a wonderful message on Wednesday, a great reminder to prayer, that if we ever get away from prayer, if we ever get away from some of these foundational things, then we have missed the mark. So Lord, I stand here today, myself personally saying, if I'm going to be a good husband, it's not because I've got all the right things. If I'm going to be a good father, it's not because I do everything perfectly. If I'm going to be a good pastor, it's not because I say that everything perfect every single time. No! If I'm going to be successful, it's going to be because of the mercy and the grace of God. And the only thing I can say is, Lord, take my brokenness. There's nothing good in me that doesn't come from you. Yes, Lord, I want everyone to know, if they see anything to celebrate in me, let them celebrate in you. I don't want to boast in myself. I don't want to boast in anything but Jesus Christ, because I want you to make your home here. And God, if you're going to make your home in my heart, I've got to be lowly and contrite in my spirit, because that is the place you inhabit, Lord. That is the place you inhabit. Him who is of a contrite and lowly spirit. The admonishment for us living in blessing, living in abundance, living in wealth, finances, or health, The danger is for us, the admonition is that we not neglect something that is so necessary for God to truly dwell in us, a contrite spirit. A contrite spirit that says, Lord, if there's something that I've built that's not of you, break it. If I need to be humbled, Lord, humble my spirit before you, that I would be a man that people can say, oh, that's a man that loves God. Not, oh, that's a wonderful man. That's a rich man. You know what? I have a healthy family. I am a rich man. I am a rich, rich man. But it's only because the blessing and mercy of God. You can look at times throughout Scripture that all those things that we would like to put all of our identity in can be taken away in an instant. And you know it because many people in this room have experienced it, that God gives and God takes away. But at the end of the day, all glory has to go to God. God's home of choice. Will you stand with me today? Again, sometimes this posture happens to us by the circumstances of life, brought to a place that we feel low. But there are other times where it's required of us that we may not think too highly of ourselves and therefore act as if we don't need God. A contrite spirit is not just born out of hardship or something that God will just stoop down and accept, but it's something I believe he desires for us, a perspective that we should have. And so today, there's a twofold message. Number one, I want to speak a message of hope, because Christmas is a wonderful time. It's a wonderful time of family. It's a wonderful time of blessing. It's a wonderful time of togetherness. And all those things are good. All those things, I hope you have a wonderful time with your family this week. But I also recognize in this place that sometimes Christmas is a reminder of what once was. That for some of you, that picture-perfect Christmas is maybe something that you no longer experience. Maybe the loss of a loved one. Maybe a change in circumstance. Maybe a decision of someone. Maybe something that has happened, something that has transpired. And all, again, as I said, all those things that Christmas is supposed to bring somehow drives from you. To you, you would maybe say, you know what, I do feel a little low. I do feel a little crushed, as it were. My spirit feels crushed. I recognize you today. But I speak this message of hope, that the God that is high and holy, that dwells in the heavens, looks down to you of a lowly spirit, of a contrite spirit, and he says, you are the home that I have chosen. You're not a lesser than. Your pain does not preclude you. I'm talking to someone, you've been broken by the decisions of other people. Maybe through a divorce. Maybe through someone walking away from you, walking away from God. Maybe you've been brought low by that companion we all wish to never meet. Death. But yet a companion that's with you for the rest of your life. Recognize that today. I'm not trying to be morbid, but yet I cannot allow this to go by without recognizing the truth of our human existence, that there are times when we are brought low. But today, again, I say to you, I dwell in the high and holy place, and also with him who is of a contrite and lowly spirit, to revive the spirit of the lowly and to revive the heart of the contrite. As Christmas comes and we celebrate the birth of Jesus and the miracle of what it is, I also want to celebrate that we serve a God that can revive what no doctor can revive, what no medical professional can revive, and that is a low spirit, a contrite heart, a broken spirit. God can revive you today. And also, I serve it as an admonishment to those that are about to celebrate a wonderful Christmas with your family and all the wonderful things that it brings. I admonish you, let us not walk through this season so high and mighty in our own self-righteousness. And I know our culture is very much about self-care and self-love and you know, loving yourself. And I'm not trying to go against that or say that you need to think of yourself poorly. What I'm saying is the perspective of, God, this is because of you. Goodness comes from you. Virtue comes from you. Blessing comes from you. Lest I make it about myself. Because God wants us to have a contrite heart. God wants to dwell in you. So to one group, I bring hope. God can revive you. In the sting of death, in the sting of what Christmas used to be, in the shadow of what the picture doesn't show now, I say there is hope. And your spirit can be revived once again. And then for those of us walking in blessing, I myself, walking in blessing, I say, God, I don't want to ever get beyond a contrite spirit. I don't want to ever get beyond having a lowly spirit. But the only way to do that is by humbling myself in prayer. So that's what we're going to do. I'm going to pray over you. And then I'm going to ask that we would come, make our way around this front, and humble ourselves in prayer. To some, it's going to be that prayer of hope. God, I want to hope again. God, I want to feel again. God, I want my spirit to be lifted. But for others, maybe you just need to stop and say, Lord, I lower myself. I humble myself in awe of your grandeur. I want to pray over you right now. Lord, in the name of Jesus, I pray for every person here. God, I thank you for this wonderful Christmas time that we celebrate you coming as a baby, you manifesting yourself and what it means for all of us. We celebrate your birth because we celebrate your resurrection and our new life, our second birth in you. But today I pray, Lord, that you would come, dwell among the lowly of spirit, dwell among the lowly, the contrite of heart, to revive them, Lord. Revive someone's heart today. Begin the process of reviving, Lord. And then for us, Lord, I pray that I can humble myself in your presence, that I can come to you with a contrite heart, come to you with the brokenness needed for you to inhabit my heart. I pray for our church that you'd bless us, you would keep us in your hand, Lord. In Jesus' name. At this time, would you come? Would you come and just humble yourself in prayer as this year comes to a close? Could we just humble ourselves before the Lord? Or maybe you need to reach up and grasp for hope. In the name of Jesus. Yes, that's it. Would you pray unto God? He sees your every cry. He sees you today. He sees you today. In the name of Jesus. Let's pray all across this church today.